Everybody, welcome back to the Shore Store with myself, Justine Elizabeth. And how's everybody doing? I haven't released a main feed episode in a couple weeks. Still been doing the Vanderpump Rules over on the Patreon. Love it over there. Still doing my Surreal Shore with Erica. And we actually have a very special episode coming out this week. We're doing Detroit Rock City for 420. And holy shit, I rewatched that movie last night. It did not age well at all. Aged horribly from what I can remember. Yeah, it's one of those movies where I've seen like 500 times because, for all my Gen Zers out there, us millennials used to watch movies over and over and over again because streaming services didn't always exist. So if you owned a DVD copy of something, that was going in your DVD player like every couple days or something. So, definitely like remembered all of the words, was mouthing along with the movie. And yeah, but there was a couple lines in there and stuff that were just absolutely jarring to hear. Like that movie would not be made the same way that it was today. That's for sure. But yeah, check out the Surreal Shore 420 episode because that is where we will be talking about it. And also, I am giving away my Ronnie and Snooki tapestry. This thing is 60 inches by 50 inches. It's huge. If you're on Instagram, you can see this right now. I was going to do the draw for it this week, but I'm going to give it till the end of the month. So please enter. Go to Shore Store Pod on Instagram to figure out how to enter for this. It's really easy. You just got to screenshot you leaving me a 5-star rating review. Send it to me in the DMs. Where it goes down in the DMs, and I will enter your name for the draw that I'm doing. And if you're a Patreon subscriber, of course, you're going to get extra entries. And for the runners up, I'll be sending out Shore Store stickers. No purchase necessary. I'm going to be shipping it with my own money, all of that stuff. So I just really want to give this away to a loyal listener. I'm going to redo my podcast room completely. And that's the plan for now. What else has happened since we last chatted? A lot, actually. First of all, Ron and Sam finally reunited on Jersey Shore Family Vacation after about, I don't know, 5 episodes of them teasing it at the end of the episode. And the episode just ends up being a lot of commercial breaks coming up on the next commercial break. Is Sam okay with Ron coming to the house? And then the rest of the episode is just filler with Mike eating. That's what the show has succumbed to. But they finally reunited. Ron finally made his way to Nashville. And it was uneventful as all hell. I called this over a year ago now when we found out that Ronnie was coming back to the show at the same time as Sam. I said, I'm like, there's no way that they're going to interact. If they're in the same room, anything, they're not going to talk. They're not going to say two words to each other. And that's exactly what happened. So Ron comes into the house. Instead of doing the group hello, he decides to do the individual hello, hugging every girl individually because all the guys pick him up from the airport. So he walks in the house. Snooki, Angelina, Jenny stand up to say hi to him. And Sam, of course, doesn't. And she is sitting on the couch with her. Sam is the queen of resting bitch face. That girl is just, she just has perma resting bitch face on. And MTV tried to do her dirty a little bit by editing out her little wave, but you could still tell she did like a little bit of a wave. And Ron just said to her, "Hi, how are you?" And it was just very awkward, very hilarious. And that's literally all that happened. Did not talk. They're not teasing them having a sit down. I don't think Sam would be down to sit down and have a sit down with him. It's just not going to happen, in my opinion. The thing as well that really bothers me about Sam is why can everybody else joke about what happened in the past and what happened in the original show except for you? Vinny made a joke. He brought up the note in some way, and everyone laughed. And then Sam's like, "That's not funny to me, Vinny. Why would you even say that?" And it's just like, it's too much. I hate how the fandom and everything tiptoes around her because they have this idea that she's this intense victim of domestic abuse. And I don't want to say that she's not. And I believe that Ron and Sam's relationship was equally as toxic, equally, it was bad. And, but even when I go back and I watch the original show, I'm sorry, all I see is Sam starting the fights 90% of the time. She's hit him on and off camera in between seasons. You know, who knows if that was reciprocated when the cameras weren't there. She always has just come off to me as a like, I'm better than everyone else type of snob. And I don't like it. I just don't like her personality. I don't find her likable at all. And I just don't like how the house and the fandom tiptoes around her. And it's like, I understand Ronnie has done some horrible, 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 awful things, but it's like, why are we, why are, why is like Jenny and Nicole trying to act like they were equally as close with Sammy? Like when the show first came back and Family Vacation first got renewed, the bitch didn't want anything to do with you guys. She didn't want to come back to the house. She didn't want you guys bringing up her name, anything. Look at the anxiety that Dina got on the show, even just talking about her or thinking about talking about her. She didn't want to come back until 6 years later when the show had already gotten to the point where people are just watching for nostalgia. No one's watching for drama or any of the original stuff like back in the day that we used to watch Jersey Shore for. So Sam watched the show and thought, oh, I can make $1 million just by coming back and doing nothing. I don't even have to go out and drink until 3 in the morning like I used to have to. I can just go on these trips once or twice a year and say, remember when we did this and remember when we did this and get paid money. But when the show first came back, she was nowhere to be seen. And her, she doesn't have to have a conversation with Ron. Like, if they both mutually say, like, we're okay with just leaving it how it is, then, like, that's fine. But it's the holier than thou attitude that she's always had, in my opinion. However, with all that being said, I did find it really cool that we did get to see the original cast before Dina was even a thought to be on the show, reunited in Nashville. Angelina, Sammy, because Dina had gone home to see her family for a couple of days. So that was kind of cool. I never really thought that I would see that on Family Vacation ever. So that was cool. I really hope Ronnie has put in the work and that he's changed. And I don't know. I guess we'll just take it from here. When is the show gonna get canceled? I'm truly wondering when, because it's not fun to watch anymore. It's not fun for me to watch anymore, especially now that I'm like done with drinking, watching these like 38-year-old women get so blackout, disgusting, drunk at the bar is like no longer fun for me. It's very much like sad and gross. And if we're gonna do this show, let's do it right. Let's get Gianni on. Let's do it Snooki and JWoww style, where we genuinely see them at their homes and see like their real fights as a couple. And this goes for the entire cast, not just Snooki and Gianni. This goes for everyone. I want to see Vinny like go out on real dates. Polly and Nikki's relationship behind closed doors. I want to see Mike and Lawrence. I want to see real authentic stuff, but that's not what the show's about. That's not what they're going to give us. And it's people just strictly watch for nostalgia purposes at this point, and I guess I get it. Yeah, with that being said though, I do want to talk about the Elite Shore series. Number one, it's my everything. So my mom recently went on a Florida vacation and she was in the Tampa area, but her and my stepdad decided to also make their way down to the Floribama, Panama City Beach area, which they have been to before. My mom visited Shore Dogs, bought me a t-shirt. It was fucking awesome. So they went back and Nilsa had just opened up her store, Chi Chi Salon and Chi Chi Couture, and I was like, hey, if this happens to be anywhere near where you guys are staying, like, don't go out of your way to go, but I'm gonna give you the address. And if you're in the area, like, pop by, get me a t-shirt or something, get me something small. And obviously, if Nilsa's there, you got to get a picture with her. Like, not even thinking my mom would go. And she's like, give me the address. I'll put it in the GPS and we'll most likely go tomorrow because we're just gonna go like check into our Airbnb now, whatever. Like, 20 minutes later, my mom sends me a message. And what is it? It's a fucking picture of her and Nilsa together in the store. So obviously, I freaked the fuck out. No, she told me that Nilsa knew of the podcast. I'm embarrassed that my mom even brought up the podcast, but whatever. Awesome. And she said Nilsa was very nice to her. And Nilsa actually picked out a hat for me that says Chi Chi's up. I don't have it yet because I don't. I live in across the country from my mom, but she's holding on to it for me for when I go back to Ontario to visit. So I'm excited. And Nilsa threw in a keychain too, which is really cool. And she said it was just a great experience. And yeah, I'm jealous of her and I can't wait to go myself. But so if you guys are in that area, go check out Nilsa's store, obviously. But I want to recap Floribama Shore season 3, episode 3. It's my birthday. Original air date of this was November 21st, 2019. Let's just get into it because Floribama Shore is the best. Actually, when I was texting my friend Colin about Floribama Shore not too long ago, friend of the pod, Colin, been on a bunch of times. My Floribama episodes with him are actually some of my favorites. So I might get him. Well, I'm No, might. I'm going to get him to come on if he's willing, of course, to do a recap with me of one of the episodes from this season. He described the show perfectly, being like, just thinking about that show makes me hungover. It's so true. We get the previously on, and it's Cody wasted at the bar watching Candace talk to some random guy. Nilsa telling the girls about waking up in Gus's bed and Amy's anger management ceremony, and of course, Courtney leaving in the ambulance. So the episode starts right after their little cake fight for Amy's anger management graduation party that the house threw her. Everybody's saying how crazy it is that Courtney got taken away in an ambulance. Then 3 hours later, Courtney comes back, and there's a moment where Cody makes a comment to Kirk, and he's like, you know, she's the girl when the doctor asks how many medications you're taking. She goes, here you go, and hands a whole trash bag list to the doctor. I was like, what? Excuse me? That was just glossed right over. But Courtney comes back, and she's like, yeah, the doctor, like he's in there. Like he asked me what's going on. Like he looked at my chart and he's like, you have tonsillitis and anxiety. You'll be fine. What do you want me to do? So she's pissed off that she didn't get the answer she was looking for, I guess, the doctor. I think she, and I've said this before, I want to talk about her so cautiously when I recap these episodes, but I think she was trying to maybe get something to alleviate her sickness. So I think when she came back to the house, she was kind of upset that she didn't get what she was looking for and went straight to bed. And her misery is kind of apparent through this entire episode. But the next morning, Jeremiah is making everyone these scrambled egg sandwiches, which I've definitely noticed that he's made before, where he just scrambles eggs. Maybe with a little bit of cheese in there, toast them on two pieces of bread and eats it as a sandwich, probably for like a specific type of macros that he's trying to get in. And I always say I'm gonna make this one day, like my Floribama Shore breakfast, and I never have, so maybe I will. But Candace asked Courtney what he's doing today, and Cody's like, bar hopping, day drinking. And Candace is like, well, I think you should come to lunch with me. So Cody takes a bite out of his sandwich and he gags, and Candace is like, what's wrong? Did I say something? And Cody's like, nah, I just took a bite of that and I think I might go throw up. So he runs to the bathroom and is literally dry heaving over the fucking toilet. Don't miss this whatsoever. There were days when I was drinking. There was a day specifically I remember so well in my head. I drank the night before during the pandemic. Don't remember what I did. Probably was just drinking by myself in my house, chain smoking cigarettes, but I had drinking a lot of white wine. And obviously, white wine gives you horrible hangovers. And I woke up and I was so dizzy and so drunk. And I remember the Teen Mom reunion had just come out where Taylor was yelling at Larry and everyone was like thirst trapping over Taylor in that moment. And I remember listening to Amanda and Jody's recap, puking up white wine in the toilet. And I remember my puke literally tasted like white wine. And it's just like a visceral memory for me that I will never forget. But I definitely don't miss that at all. So there's a moment where Candace is outside with the other guys and they ask, like, what the lunch is about. She's like, listen, there's been some problems with us. I just want to, like, tell him what it is. And the guys are like, so you're friend zoning him. And then they make this joke that, like, it's the same thing Jeremiah did with Courtney in the first season. And Candace is like, well, unlike you, I actually pay the bill. And then we see the flashback of the clip from season one where Jeremiah is like, so we're going to split the check. And Courtney's like, what? And he's like, did I stutter? So Candace and Cody go to this restaurant called Krabby Bill's. And Candace is like, I feel like we argue a lot. And Cody's like, I feel that way too. So over at the house, they're talking, everyone's talking about Candace and Cody's lunch out. And Nils is like, she's Cody and Gus is Candace from last year. So back to Cody and Candace's lunch. Cody's like, for me, it's because like I like you like that. And then Candace is like, listen, like I just got out of this relationship with Gator J. Like I just want to be single right now. And Cody's like, if that's what you want, I'm fine with that. And this is going to, from what I remember, it's been so long since I watched this season, but this is going to come back to, not to haunt them. That's like so dramatic to say, but this is going to be brought up again in further in future episodes, because I think Candace gets really frustrated with Cody because he never tells her he likes her like more than a friend unless they're filming. Like she thinks he's doing it to kind of rile, what's the word? Rowel, rile, rile her up for filming. Or is it rowel? That's not a word. Doesn't matter. Anyways, the food comes, they start eating. Cody sits there, and you literally see his face starting to get all like red. And he just gets up, runs to the bathroom because, of course, he's puking his food up again. So they're done at the restaurant. They go back to the house. Nilsa and Gus are in the pool together, and Gus is showing her like how his tailbone pokes out, and Nilsa's feeling it, and she's like, "That's what was poking me that night," as a joke. And then Gus is like, "Nah, I think that was something else." And then Jeremiah thinks this is the funniest fucking thing ever. He's like, "So everyone's getting ready to go out, and Gus." His girlfriend Lisa calls the house, and Gus is like, "Hi, baby, how are you?" And Lisa's like, "Why can't you just come here?" And Gus is like, "It's not that easy for me, baby." And Lisa's like, "But like, it's my birthday. Like, I was there for yours. Like, why can't you just come here?" This girl talks like a fucking baby. Her voice is so fucking annoying. She's like, "You're like not there for me. Like, you're just not. You're not." And Gus is like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" And she's like, "I just want to see you and I can't." And Gus is like, "Okay, baby, then like come down here, see me." And Lisa's like, "I don't come first. Like, I just don't." Gus is like, "I put my whole life on hold and moved in with you. Like, how is that true that I'm not there for you?" And then Amy's like watching on, and she like kind of says, she's like, "I'd honestly rather see him get back with Nielsa, honestly. That's how bad they are." And Amy like tries to give Gus a shot and like cheers him, and he's just like so annoyed. His like veins are popping out. He's just over this. When I rewatch this scene, I'm so shocked that he ended up marrying like a 22-year-old or however old his wife is. Like, it's very weird to me. I say this all the time. Age gap relationships are not an issue for me. I don't care. But there is certain ages that are just too much because you're just at completely different areas of your life. Like a 30-year-old dating a 50 or 60-year-old even is like, that's not a big deal, but a 20-year-old dating a 29 or a 30-year-old, that is a weird age gap, in my opinion. So anyways, they go to this bar called the Crafty Squirrel, and Nils and Gus are flirting, and Amy leaves them alone to do so. And they're drunk, and Gus is like, I'm gonna go inside. Like, what? You're just gonna stand out here by yourself? And Nils is like, well, I guess so. And Gus is like, why are you spreading these like nasty ass rumors that didn't happen? Nils is like what? And Gus says, you know what I'm talking about. Nothing happened. So just say it. And Nils is like, well, there was no like P and V. And Gus is like, no, there was nothing. There was nothing at all. Like, you tell me what you think happened. Nils is like, we like kissed. And then it goes to Nilsa's talking head, and she's like, I'm like 98% sure we kissed. Like, Gus can try to convince himself all day that nothing happened, but like, I ended up in your bed. So here's the thing. She said she's 98% sure they kissed. She didn't say she's 100% sure they kissed. I mean, what do I think happened? I think, I don't know. Why was she in his bed? Did she just crawl in and try to get with him and he denied her? Did they actually kiss and he's just denying it because he has a girlfriend? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's a Mike the Situation thing where like he's just not ever going to admit that something happened. So it got to the point where she's like, I don't fucking care. I'll just lie and say that nothing happened. Like what Mike did with Nicole so that she dropped the whole thing. I don't know. Anyways, either way, Gus and Nilsa agree to disagree and they move on. So the house goes to another bar. Kirk is really wasted. Again, watching this alone is enough to make you hungover. Nils and the girls talk about Gus and his girlfriend, and Nils is like, I don't like it. And Candace is like, I don't like it either. Like she says in her talking head that it's triggering for her too because it reminds her of Gator J, like how Lisa calls the house and she's just trying to start fights and being controlling and stuff. It's exactly how Gator J was towards Candace. So the guys get back to the house. Kirk absolutely wasted. Gus calls his girlfriend. This girl is like irritating. Like the amount of time she says it's my birthday is some Stassi from Vanderpump Rules shit, I swear. He gets in a fight with this girl and Courtney hears them fighting. She's downstairs. She's miserable. She's sick. She's upset. She comes storming up the stairs and Gus and his girlfriend like hang up. And this is one thing that Gus's girlfriend does constantly throughout this is she'll call the house, she starts a fight with him, and then she hangs up and then she calls him back. Like, stand on your ground, bitch. If you're gonna hang up on him, you better not talk to him for at least bare minimum a week after that. You're not hanging up and then calling him right back. That's just embarrassing for your life and for your soul. But she calls back, and Gus is just like, I'm over this. Like, whatever. I'm so confused with my notes because Lisa ends up hanging up, calling the house back, hanging up, calling the house back multiple times. It wasn't just one time. And like, it's one thing to do this when you're like young and angry and whatever. It's another thing to do this when you know your phone calls are being recorded on national TV, when there's a house full of people that are older than you, and it's just really fucking embarrassing again. Anyways, Courtney's getting pissed. She hangs up. She whatever. Gus, when Courtney comes upstairs, Gus is like, you answer it. Like, I'm done with this. So Courtney answers and she's like, quit crying and being a little bitch. My boyfriend's in the fucking desert. How the fuck do you think I feel? He's not gonna be here for my birthday. So suck it the fuck up. Put on your big girl panties. Quit crying and being a little bitch. And if you call Gus a piece of shit one more time, I'll make my way down there to fuck you up. And then She hangs up the phone. And honestly, I'm sorry, but I am on Courtney's side for this one. It must be hella irritating to live in that house and hear that bullshit. So Courtney goes outside and smokes a cigarette with Gus, which is crazy because, like, even when I was a pack a day smoker, when I was sick, I never smoked. I could not choke down a cigarette if my life depended on it when I was sick. It was the worst feeling ever. So whenever I see people smoke cigarettes when they're like deathly sick, I'm like, oh, you're like a smoker, smoker. I, like I said, even when I was a pack a day or more every single day for years smoking, I never could when I was sick. So Courtney's telling Gus to just not entertain Lisa anymore, to just like let her sit there and think about how she was talking to him. And she also reminds Gus that grown ass women don't talk to their significant other that way. And if all she's doing is dragging him down and starting fights with him, he doesn't need it, which I agree with Courtney. It's interesting when Courtney's the voice of reason in the show, but Gus is like, yeah, it's like I'm hurting, and like she don't care, like I'm hurting because like I feel like I'm not enough. And Courtney's like, her birthday present needs to be you breaking up with her, honestly. Then meanwhile, the rest of the house is in the cab and they're all like next level wasted. And it's funny because this is something that no one really talks about, is when you compare like the Jersey Shore house, the original Jersey Shore house, to the Floribama Shore house, you can really see how much Jersey Shore was on drugs and Floribama's drunk. Like, Floribama outdrinks the Jersey Shore cast by a million. Jersey Shore is just like drugs. So the next morning, Gus tells the guys about the fight with Lisa and how Courtney answered the phone. And the boys are like, you know, we're going to go to the gym, whatever. This was also when Jeremiah was a FitStrong influencer. And I wish I knew what the fuck was going on with Jeremiah right now. He's not on any social media at all. Kirk recently did a video where he was like thanking all the Floribama fans for their support and for, you know, hashtag give Floribama Shore another season, all that stuff, whatever. And he's like, you know, Nilsa just opened up her shop. Candace is a mom. Cody's opening up a bar. Like, goes through this list of like what the cast has been up to. And then when he gets to Jeremiah, he's like, Jeremiah's just figuring out life. So me, someone who unapologetically likes to look at Jeremiah, where are you? Where are you? Are you still working out all the time? Are you in a relationship with a dad bod now? Jeremiah, show your face. We would like to see it. So the guys and Candace are at the gym, and Jeremiah is showing Candace something, and he's like, if there's two bottles of Hennessy over here, then I know you could make it. By the way, would love for Jeremiah to train me. He fucking won like his first bodybuilding competition. He like came in first place, his very first time entering. Like, that is some insane shit. I don't think people realize how hard it is to do something like that. How disciplined you have to be. Anyways, Cody and Candace leave the gym and go across the street to the bar, of course. And they're like, fuck the gym. Like, let's just get fucked up instead. Totally something I would have done. So back at the house, Amy's like drying a spatula because she's like gonna make food or something. And she's like, is this someone's tie? And she just grabs someone's tie. I think it ended up being Jeremiah's tie. And she dries it with, like, she dries the spatula with the tie. It's like, bitch, use your shirt. Use your t-shirt. Who cares? Everyone's just laughing and drinking and playing around. And Courtney's feeling like shit and everyone's being loud. And Nilsa and Candace go to check on Courtney and they're asking her what they can do. And she's like, I just need everyone to realize, like, I am actually sick. And Candace and Nilsa is like, no, we know you're sick. And Courtney's like, no, like, I'm sick. Like, I'm not getting any better. Like, this is stressing me out. Like, I'm sick. And Nilsa goes downstairs and tells them that Courtney's upset. She doesn't want to be bothered. And then we see there's a delivery for Courtney, flower delivery person. And so everyone's like yelling to Courtney to come downstairs. Just to play devil's advocate, I don't think Courtney heard that it was for her. I think she probably just thought everyone was drunk and was yelling for her to come upstairs to see them. So she was getting annoyed. She's like telling them to shut the fuck up. So she comes down and takes the flowers. They're from her man. She says to the girl, like, thank you. I hope you have a better day than me. And the delivery person leaves. This was probably just a producer that they all knew, but still, like the way she said it and everything, like, was very rude. And right away, Kirk's like, Courtney, what the fuck? And she's like, I'm just saying, like, y'all, stop tripping. And Kirk's like, bitch, you just got flowers from your boyfriend. So Courtney runs up to his face. She's like, don't call me a fucking bitch. And she walks away, and Kirk's like, no, you are. You're an ungrateful ass bitch. Go to sleep forever. Fuck you. I don't give a fuck. The guys are dying laughing, and Candace is like, stop. She's like, sick, legit. And Kirk's like, well, I'm sick of her dumbass shit. Courtney goes down to the basement, and everyone at the house like sits down for dinner. Kirk's passed out on the table. He's got like a bottle of Barefoot Pinot Grigio there, just empty in front of him. Kirk, I know the exact feeling you're feeling right now. I've been wasted off that cheap ass Barefoot Pinot before too. I know how it feels. But Candace does her prayer, her good food, good meat, good God, let's eat prayer. And they're talking about going to Ferg's in St. Pete, Florida, which I've been to. And actually, when my mom was on her Florida trip this time, I suggested it to her too, because it's right beside the baseball stadium, Tropicana Field in Tampa. So if you're ever at an event there, like, Ferg's is the place to go before and or after the game. It's a huge bar with so many different rooms. I guess they have axe throwing, because that's what they're talking about here. And it's just really cool because it's so big, and they have outside seating and inside seating, and you just scan the menu and order what you want, and then they bring it to you. So you don't even have to do the bullshit where the server comes, takes your order, you gotta wait, you gotta wait. You just order it, someone brings it right out to you. It's awesome. But anyways, they're gonna do some axe throwing there, and Candace is like, you're not coming, Kirk. I don't need you around axes when you're drunk. And Kirk's like, I'm fine, right? And he looks at Nilsa, and she nods. She's like, yeah, I guess you're fine. And he's like, anyone else? And then Jeremiah's like, you're short. And Kirk and Candace make fun of each other's hair. And Kirk's like, at least mine's real. What's that? And Candace goes, real cute, which I love. I'm gonna use that from now on. And Kirk says, like, y'all are talking about hair, and like, he goes on. Of course, it's bleeped, so you don't really hear, but we find out that he says the N-word from Candace. And Candace is like, okay, you're dropping the N-word, like, that's how I know you're drunk. And Cody's like, but that's just how Kirk talks, though. Like, that's just how he talks. And he says it again and again, and Courtney throws something at him, and Amy makes a joke. She's like, she needs my anger management teachers. And Candace is like, you know how I feel about that word, so stop. Kirk keeps saying it over, says he doesn't care. Candace is like, stop using derogatory ass language. And she says in her talking head that she doesn't like when Kirk says it because he's setting a bad example. And I 100% agree with her. I'm white, so I feel extremely uncomfortable with that word. I feel extremely uncomfortable even talking about it right now because it's not my place to. But as a fan of Candace and as a fan of the show, I will say my thoughts about probably one of the many reasons why it's upsetting her. This is probably just isn't it, but just some behind the scenes stuff, if you will, is that Candace did a YouTube video a long time ago, and I've talked about this video years ago on previous episodes. But she said that there's someone in the house who used that word when talking to Candace. They called her that word, and it obviously really upset her. And the way that she described it was like that person thought that using the word was okay. So I would totally understand, or like I assume that Candace doesn't want Kirk using that word because he's letting everyone on TV think that it's okay to use. And it's just like she said, just setting a bad example. So I just get it. So Amy goes to talk to Kirk outside, and she's like, you know, when Candace like asks you not to say that word, like you really should stop. And he's like, I don't give a fuck. And she's like, I know you don't, but you got to stop saying it because it's hurting Candace's feelings. Like, you know what I'm saying? And she does her 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And Kirk tries going back in the house, and Candace is like trying to get him to stay outside. But now it's later in the night, and I guess Kirk's buzz is wearing off. He's over it. So he does go to apologize to Candace, and Candace is like, listen, Kirk, like, I get it's part of your vocabulary, but we can't call ourselves the New South if we're still using terms like that. Like, I'm just asking you, don't use that word while we're in this house. And like I said, what I really think she's saying from is like, don't use that word on TV. Don't use that word. Don't let people think it's okay to use that word. I get where she's coming from 100%. And like I said, I'm white. It's not even my place to talk about this or comment on this, but I'm on her side, and I totally get what she's trying to say, or at least I think I get what she's trying to say. So Kirk says, yeah, he knows he's 100% in the wrong. He gets it. And yeah, they all go to the club. They're doing shots. Gus is talking to girls. Nils is watching. Everyone leaves. And Cody's upset because he doesn't want to go home. And although he doesn't want to go home, he's the first person in the taxi sitting there. Like, why do we have to go home? It's so funny. It's like no one's dragging him out of the club. Like, they're just, Cody, we're going to go home. Runs into the taxi. But why do we have to go? Jeremiah is also pouring sweat, by the way. Like, Jesus. So Nilsa and Gus are in the cab, and Nilsa tells Gus that he deserves a lot better than someone who says he's trash. And they have a little moment. Then everyone goes back to the house, and Cody is upset. So he goes to sleep. And Kirk's like, come on, Cody, don't be like that. Like, just come hang out. And Cody's like, no, fuck that. I'm going to bed. Gus is like, all that went to my love's handles, like talking about all the alcohol he drank at the bar. And he lifts up his shirt and he shows his actual six pack abs. I'm looking at you, Cody Brown. And he literally has like nothing to grab at all. And Jeremiah's pretending to slap them. Another fun Jerry Gus moment of this season. But Cody is yelling at them to shut up, and Gus like thinks it's so funny, so he's going upstairs to try to bug him. And Cody's like genuinely pissed, but it's Cody, so of course no one's taking him seriously. So Cody's like, stop, don't bother me, don't bother me. Gus rips off the blankets, and Gus is like, this ain't no amateur hour, boy. Pull yourself together. And then Kirk is like laughing his ass off. Cody's like, I don't want to play tonight. Please don't start with me. He goes outside and he's like begging them to be left alone. Like, please, God, like, I'm not in the mood for this. Just fuck off. Leave me alone. He goes outside, and Gus is like shoving a pretzel in his face, and he smacks the pretzel out of his hand, and he's like, I asked you guys to leave me alone. Nobody bothers you when you're on the phone with bitch ass Lisa. And then this is where Gus turns in his head. Like, something snaps, something just goes off, and he just snaps on Cody. And this is just such an interesting moment. This is a moment that you can go back and watch, because every time you're going to notice something different in the scene. But when Gus goes towards Cody, like, Jeremiah's laughing at first, and then he realizes, like, oh shit, he's fucking serious. So Jeremiah's pushing them apart, and he's grabbing at Gus, and Gus is like, I'll beat your goddamn ass right now. And he's just like genuinely trying to fight Cody. And that's where the episode ends. Oh my God. It's so fucking good. And the next episode is so fucking good too. I can't wait. I should get a guest on and make the next episode like a fun little recap. But Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate it a lot. Go follow me on Instagram at Shore Store Pod. Remember to enter for your chance to win this beautiful piece of artwork behind me. No purchase necessary at all. Sign up for Patreon, where I'm currently recapping Vanderpump Rules season 4. I'm halfway through the season. Love doing those recaps. So much fun. And yeah, join the Patreon, patreon.com/shorejustine. There's so much content over there. There's like almost 400 bonus episodes, possibly even more at this point. Check out mine and Erica's feed on both of our main feeds, Surreal Shore, Detroit Rock City this week, and just a lot more funness to come. So stay tuned. Thank you for listening. I love you guys so much, and we'll talk soon. Bye.